Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. Today, I'm joined by Samuel Crane of Cinch IT. Samuel is the co-owner of Cinch IT Utah franchise, which he runs with his two brothers and a partner, David, whose son has also recently joined the team. Together, they are building a family-powered managed IT and cybersecurity business that blends hometown service with an enterprise-grade help desk and specialist bench from Cinch's Boston-based HQ. Samuel, welcome to Growing Up B2B. It's great to have you on.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks for having me.
So let's start at the beginning. Give us the origin story, really. How did Cinch IT in Utah go from an idea between you and David to a multifamily franchise with traction?
Yeah, really, we were trying to solve a problem that we had in our rural hometown of Moab, Utah, which was we didn't have an enterprise-grade IT solution. And my other business is I run a credit union. I'm the CEO of a credit union. And so we were in need of an IT enterprise solution. David was on my board and he was 200 days a year traveling, working at all these data centers across the country. And we just got to talk and it's, man, David, we could really do something well here. And he was smart enough to recognize like, hey, we can't do it all on our own. And so he went and researched this franchise out in Boston, and luckily they hadn't was available to us here in Utah. So we bought our first franchise and solved that problem and grew in Southern Utah. And then his son came on board. My brother came on board working for us in Southern Utah. And there was a point where it's, man, we should really grow into Northern Utah as well. And at that point, we brought my other brother on board, and now he's an owner as well. And so I've got two brothers that are owners, and Dave and his son as well. So it's kind of like we got these two families working in tandem to grow these franchises.
That's awesome. Speaking of the different roles and the different folks in the business, so as I understand it, you and your brothers are predominantly on the business development side, whereas David leads up the technical side. Is that kind of how it's
exactly right? Yep. Okay. David's our technical director. His son is also on the technical side. He's the tech lead for the whole state. So they really know their stuff, and we really couldn't do it without them. And then it really does make for a great mix of having the biz development on the Crane side of things, where we can grow the business and they can make sure that all of our deliverables actually happen.
Excellent. Yeah. So how it sounds as though the way in which it's set up is you and your brothers are a bit stronger on business development and forward facing, whereas David and his son are more, we'll call it backstage, if you will. But how do you establish clear lanes so that there's not issues of overlap, if you will?
Yeah, I think that's still a little bit of work in progress on our point. And I think part of it is because as we're growing, the lanes change. Right. When we were just one franchise and we just had a handful of customers, it was like everybody was wearing everybody's hats and we were all just helping each other grow. But as we've grown, we've realized like, oh, I'm better at sales development, the operational stuff. And then what we've done too is so we have our operational lanes, but then we have our like business owner lanes as well. So what we did at about 2 years ago, is we had a strategic planning meeting and we said, okay, on the business owner side of things, on the kind of more on the C-suite level of things, what are our roles going to be? So David's more of the CTO, the CIO type of a person. I'm more of the visionary 10,000 foot view person. Ben's kind of with marketing and Luke's CFO type of numbers type of thing. So we all have our pieces to play in the strategic roles as well. And I think that's really important to recognize that there are roles that you step out of the operational side and have to establish those lanes too.
Said. And certainly the family businesses that we've had on the show that have scaled have done a good job of that, of saying who does what and for good reason, right?
Yeah, I'm still thinking about as we grow, what's the next thing we're going to run into with lanes. So if you have any ideas on that, you share them with me.
As the old adage goes, what got you here won't get you there.
Yeah.
You know what that translates to based on guests on this show and our experiences is oftentimes it's either new people in new seats or new learning.
Yeah.
A lot of times with the family governed business, it's often new learning and new learning that sometimes comes from outside perspective. And that's always been interesting where the successful family businesses know when it's time to turn to the outside as opposed to just trying to muscle through everything and keep it in the
Right.
family, so to speak. So I think ultimately it's a happy medium.
Yeah.
Something I wanted to ask you though, since we initially talked, you elected to go franchise route. Then
Right.
did you guys ever consider, hey, what if we just formed our own independent MSP? So what ultimately said, hey, franchise is probably a better route forward for us?
Yeah, we researched both ways and we felt we needed the expertise of a full team right away. Technology had just grown so fast that even if we started with a small team with two or three people, that there wouldn't be enough expertise amongst those people to really bring the enterprise grade that we wanted to bring to our clients. And interestingly enough, the Cinch IT franchise is a family-owned business as well. It was started by Rick Porter, and some members of his family are involved as well. And so it's really interesting. They mirror us quite a bit. They're a lot bigger. They're a national brand, but they're a lot bigger on the East Coast. Boston is their headquarters. But they really fit our family, kind of the way that we do things as a family, so well that it just made for a really good fit.
Excellent. That's interesting. So from credit union to IT, talk about that for a minute. Are there, as you've designed the either the business development experience or even the client-facing experience for clients of Cinch IT, were there elements you drew from or are drawing from your experience running a credit union that are relevant or somewhat transferable?
Absolutely. It's nice because I get the feeling of what it's like to be a client as well as to be an owner. And for instance, I had spent some time with another MSP prior to getting Cinch on board. And they, partway through our relationship, they fired all their business development people because they felt like all they needed was the tech people. And it really put a damper on our relationship because the business development people in that relationship was the translator for us, and we could talk with them and they could work solutions. So it created this really difficult environment. And so when we came on board with Cinch, that was one area where I was like, you guys, we really need to make sure that we have a business development side and that they're in constant contact with our clients and making sure we're taking care of their needs.
So the way business development looks in Cinch IT's world, at least as far as your franchises, business development is also somewhat has some client facing. It's not just pure prospect facing. It's also
Yeah,
interacting
account
customer
management.
interaction, account management as well. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so they help build clients, but they also, once the clients are theirs, it's their client to foster and to grow and keep happy. And so they're meeting with them at least quarterly, if not more, and making sure that what they receive is what they want. And then on top of that, it's clients have ongoing technology needs. And so it's, are we looking forward to those needs and getting the right hardware, the right servers ordered, those kind of things that should be done. And if it really is a good marriage of the tech side and the account executive or business development side, if you have both of those, the client can be taken care of really well. To date, we have actually only lost one client after 5 years, and that was due to an acquisition. They were actually acquired by a larger company that already have their internal IT department. And so that's one of the reasons I feel like we have a good attrition rate. But yeah, I think that's really important. And we saw that on this on the credit union side of things. The other part of the credit union side of things is compliance. So we on the credit union side, we're required to meet certain NCUA requirements. Federal regulators come into the credit union, review all of our cybersecurity, they review all of our tech and make sure that we are not susceptible to cyber attacks as financial institutions can be. And so what that's really helped us with is understanding those kind of needs. And we've actually been able to develop other compliance relationships. So we have clients in the accounting world. We have clients in the, what would you call it, developing or manufacturing parts for the Department of Defense have actually come to us because we understand compliance and how to reach like CMC compliance or HIPAA. We also have a lot of HIPAA clients as well. Yeah, that's been an interesting thing. We've been able to take what we learned with the credit union and overlay it to other compliance clients.
That's excellent. And having some exposure to the company servicing government or DoD, they have some fairly stringent requirements when it comes to IT and how it's configured.
Yeah.
Or to work for defense, you got to be pretty buttoned up, irrespective of the size of business you are. They don't care
Right.
if you're small,
They don't
big.
care.
You just got to meet the criteria.
Yeah. And the new CMMC stuff that's come out is throwing everybody for a loop.
There she does.
And it seems like it's getting tighter and tighter every year.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
But that's why companies like Sinch IT exist, right? To help them
Yes.
navigate those situations. It was very refreshing what you were talking about in how you structure the client experience with you've got techs, but then you've got really more account facing or account manager personnel. Because it's, I think a lot of, and I don't mean to be judgmental of the IT services category, but a lot of times there's a bit of a notion of set it and forget it. We're just going to run everything and you call us when something breaks.
Exactly.
Whereas certainly on the other side of it, as a business owner myself, it's nice to hear from the IT firm. It's nice to hear about what's coming next and being eyes up and proactive and what's around the next quarter. What should we be planning for? What's a proactive maybe replacement, or how do we avoid obsolescence, or whatever the issue might be, but just to be a little bit more forward facing than totally reactive, let's say.
100%, 100%. And I think most growing companies who value technology, they want that conversation about what's coming down the pipeline. And particularly right now, how AI is transforming everything, it's hitting technology just as well. And so everybody wants to know what's happening there? What do I need to do? What are the trends? How can I stay above the curve?
Yeah, for sure. So I think you started to get at this next question I had a little bit, but I'd like to dive deeper, which is when we talk about Sinch IT, you've got this powerhouse enterprise capability behind you, but you deliver it with a bit of a local family feel. It is a
Right.
family governed business. So go a little deeper with that, Sam. What is that? How does that show up for a client? What does that look like? If I was a client of Sinch IT, what would that look like to me?
So the best thing that we can do is we're focused on relationships. Family is the core relationship that we all understand. And even though our business is family, we also like to think of our clients as family as well. So we're constantly trying to ask ourselves if this was my father or my brother that I'm working with as a client, what would I want to do for them? And sometimes, because of that, the feel should be you should feel like you're part of the Sinch family in Utah. But I think what's also good about that is I've seen other businesses have that model, but they're so small they can't really offer the enterprise solutions that are needed. And so that's why this model works. So we can give that local family feel. Everybody on our team is related, or we know each other very well, and we get to know you well, and you become our family, and we'll meet with you regularly. You'll get to know all of our techs regularly. But when there's a complex problem or issue, we have the team to back us up, and we can solve that.
That's awesome. That's a
Yeah.
great model. Getting back to that core family leadership, certainly, and I can speak from experience working with, because for a period of time I overlapped with my sister too, so it was my father-in-law. So that
That's
can be
cool.
very rewarding. It could be very exciting. It could also be volatile sometimes.
Yes.
So,
Thanksgiving dinner isn't always like perfect. Is that what you're saying?
you're talking to an all Italian family. So, yeah, we're loud and we fight it out, but then we hug it out right after. So, it's all
Nice.
good.
Nice.
But what is in your world, like what's a, maybe a friction point that does show up time and again? And how do you kind of keep those friction points from derailing the ultimate mission that you're on with Sinch IT?
First of all, I want to just say that I've known my family and I've known David and his family for a long time. But until you work with someone, you don't truly know their strengths. At least I didn't. I didn't know my brother's strengths as well as I know them now. I didn't know David and Jacob's strengths as well as I know them now. And so that was the first immediate thing as we started working together, how cool it is to get to know your family on a whole new level. And when you see that a lot of times their strengths cover up for like my weaknesses, I appreciate them so much. And it's my brothers, I have a whole new level of respect for them because of their strengths. There's stuff that I just struggle with. And I'm like so happy that we're not just the same people, that we all can help each other out in areas where we struggle. But that being said, that also can be a double-edged sword. My strengths are so much different than everybody else that we'll butt heads on that. And one example is I'm a visionary. I really am. Like I love to look and think of 5, 10, 20 years ahead and say, where are we going and how are we going to get there? And some of my other partners, they would rather just, hey, we've got problems right in front of us we need to handle today. Get your head out of the clouds and let's get to work. And I do, that has been a struggle in the past. And so I recognize that and realize that there are times when we all have to elevate and think higher, but then there's times where we have to get down and do the work too.
Yeah. And speaking of that, it is, as a visionary, easy to just live 5 and 10 years down the path, which one could argue that's what a visionary is supposed to do. Are we going? How do you find the balance in yourself, Samuel? Like, how do you guide that vision, that strategy, without maybe pulling back too much and being almost absentee of the operation or pushing too hard forward and being that classic micromanager? How do you strike the balance in yourself?
So I think there's a lot of ways to do it, and I've seen other people do it differently. But for me, it's all about who, not how. And I know that you may have heard that term before.
And Sullivan.
Exactly, Ed
Yeah.
Sullivan. What was the book that I was
Who
reading?
not how? That's what it is.
Who not? Oh, there is a book called Who Not How. Okay, there you go. It's all about who, not how, and that's how I like to run my businesses is. Recognizing that I am a strategic thinker, I do see the long-term vision, and I've come to realize I can't do it all. And so I need people around me that are the who's. I know, like, our origin story is a perfect example of who, not how. I know that I couldn't do IT on my own, but I knew David was an IT genius. And so I got him involved, and then he said, hey, I can't do it all on my own either. And we got the franchise involved. So the who's became the franchise, David, and then eventually the rest of the team. And I run my other businesses that way as well. I'm involved in a real estate firm. We have lots of who's there that are the right people in the right seat on the bus. And same with the credit union is we've actually grown the credit union. I've been there for 13 years now. And when I started, we just had one branch in Moab, Utah. We've grown into four branches. We grew from like 10 million in assets to 115 million in assets.
Wow.
So we've been one of the fastest, like for probably 3 years in a row, we were the fastest growing credit union in the top 1% in the nation for our peers group. There's been some tremendous growth. And a big piece of that is getting the right people on the seat and letting them do their work, giving them clear vision. And saying this is where the direction we're heading and let them do their work, but also making sure that we're not misaligned. A lot of times people start working together, and if they are not all facing the same big goal in the end, then they're working against each other. And I think a big part of a leader's job is to just make small tweaks to make sure everybody's in alignment.
And certainly, as a business is still in a manageable scale, it's agile too. You can, a small tweak can have a big impact. And the nice thing about being on a smaller entity is you can see it. You can kind of see the outcome fairly readily, as opposed to a much larger organization where you make a tweak and it may not show up for 6 or 8 months or something.
Exactly. You got it. Exactly right.
As one sitting in the visionary seat, obviously you're responsible for guidance in the strategic direction of the company, but also as the company is growing, a culture shows up, the issue of culture. So as the business is expanding, Cinch IT, how do you keep the guardrails on when it comes to culture and keeping and maintaining a strong culture as the company grows and expands in terms of personnel and the like?
Yeah, so this is really important and something that I think is everybody should think about, because every credit union, our real estate business, every business I've been a part of has this feel of what does it mean to be a part of this family, so to speak. And I think there's a lot of unspoken rules. There's a lot of unspoken things that kind of come into play. And it's really important to recognize those things and make sure that they're headed in the right direction as well. We actually use specific tools, specific books that we will all work around in order to make sure that our company culture stays positive, stays in the right direction. One of the books that we use is put out by the Arbinger Institute. It's called The Outward Mindset. And it's all about making sure that we see people as people and they're not objects. And that means that the people we work with, the people we service are people, not objects. And the people around us, our partners, we're all people. We all have hopes and dreams and goals of our own. And once we open ourselves up to the fact that everybody's a person, we're able to stay out of our own box, so to speak, and work together for the better good of everybody's goals. And so just doing things like we'll have an annual meeting where we'll do a strategic planning meeting, and we'll just take a portion of that meeting and talk about the outward mindset, or we'll talk about, hey, what are some of these tools we can use to make sure when we're having a bad day or when we're in a bad situation that we can move out of it and get into a better place. And just the fact that people are trained on that and know that we care about it, I think it does set this like foundation of a culture that allows us to grow in a better way.
Nice, nice. So as you're talking, it's sounding like the HQ in Boston gives you a lot of resources, but in terms of, I'll just call it some of the softer aspects of Cinch IT there in Utah, you've got some autonomy to govern as you see fit and to build the culture the right way as you see fit and all those things. It sounds like a nice balance if I'm reading you correctly.
Yeah, and they really want us to be, they actually are very encouraging of us to create our own brand of Cinch IT in a way. They want us to have our own individual culture. And they recognize what that culture is. We have monthly meetings with the owner of Cinch IT franchise, the nationwide one, and he's always excited about our family culture. He's really pumped for it because he can see what good it's going to do, and he sees the future of it as well.
And by virtue of being from a family at the HQ level, a family business too, I'm sure there's a lot of just natural alignment in terms of see the world and so forth. So that's great. That's a really
absolutely.
Good. I think you found a good match in Cinch IT for sure.
Yeah, we did. We found a good partner.
So every MSP, obviously there's lots of clients that I'm sure love you, sing praises about Cinch IT and have great experiences. But every now and again, we run into one that's maybe a little difficult. And without naming names or anything, just can you think through maybe a challenging client relationship where you had to delicately navigate, have a tough conversation, or maybe even reset an expectation just to get them back in the fold? Again, referencing your very low attrition rate, only losing one by virtue of acquisition, tells me you're doing a lot of things right in that regard. And that means probably knowing how to navigate not only the easy conversations, but the hard ones too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we had a firm not too long ago that we were replacing their server. And of course, you go through the motion, we test it, we make sure that it's going to work perfectly. But until you actually get into it, you don't know what you don't know. And we got into it and there was some hiccups. And I think we were down for a morning, which is really rare for us to have anybody down at all. And we had one of the owners there that was just really frustrated. And I can see, we saw how that could be. We understood their frustration. We definitely But it probably got out of hand on their part a little bit, where they may have said some things that weren't professional. And it was to that point where we were like, oh my gosh, this is not okay. What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? And we were having a meeting about it. And when things go wrong, it's like we all come together, all hands on deck, and try to figure out what the next best step to do is. And there's always the account manager, of course, was my brother Luke in this one. He was at the closest point of contact with those guys. And of course, he's feeling that frustration and just melting under it. And the best thing we could do in that moment was support. As, hey, we're here for you. Let's get through this. Let's get him back up and operational. Make sure that it all works out, and then we can handle the problems that we went through this morning. And just having that moment of he could release on us, but then we're there for you. Let's get it up and running. And we had him up and running within the next hour at an operational level. And by the next day, everything was better, way better than it was on the old server. And so I think those are things where, like in any business, you know that there's going to be a moment where things just blow up. Things don't go right.
Absolutely.
But it just like with anything, I love the saying, never waste a good crisis. Like in a crisis situation, we can either let it just destroy us, let it destroy our relationships, or we can choose to build on it. It's like, how are we going to step onto this crisis and make it better for next time? Not only as a team, but also as like this client. What are we going to do to own up to our mistake, but also say, this is how we fixed it and this is how we've made it better? And it wasn't, but it took a couple of weeks, but 3 weeks later, we got an email from that client saying, hey, I was a little bit out of hand. I apologize. And just letting you know, we are super happy with your service. The server is working better than we could have ever imagined. And we're so happy to continue doing business with you. So it all worked out in the end.
That's awesome. And I love what you said about leaning into and learning from crisis, because every company falters and falls down, but it's about how do you get up? What do you do? And how do you show up when things
Yeah.
are not good? Because it's easy to show up when things are good. You know,
Absolutely.
we all can do
Yeah.
that, but it's really, I think it's the measure of a company and the mettle of the leadership is to how do you show up when things are not so good? And in that particular case, you turned a rocky situation into probably a lifelong client. So that was a
Right.
awesome comeback.
Yeah. Thanks.
So I was reading up on your background, and I'm not sure, remind me if I got this right. Did you
Okay.
grow up on a farm? Is that, did I
Yeah.
get that
Yeah.
right? Okay. Okay.
Me and my five brothers and three sisters.
Okay. Okay.
So big family farm. Yeah, it
Oh
was
my
awesome.
goodness. Talk about what that was like, and what were there any early lessons in that experience that show up in how you lead a tech business today?
Yeah. Well, on a farm, everybody works together, and doesn't matter how old or young you are, you're out there with the family working. So even when I was 4 or 5 years old, it's like you're hanging out with family, hoeing weeds, or you're driving the truck while everyone's throwing hay in the back of it, or whatever you need to do. So I learned a lot of good work ethic from being on the farm. And but I also learned to work with my family. Like as a kid, I just thought it was fun. Like I didn't know we were working. Oh, let's go feed the cows, man. Let's go. This is awesome. It was just like an adventure every day. So I loved it. The farm was a great place to learn lessons. Nature itself is not very forgiving. It's if you make a mistake, then you pay for it. And it's nobody's fault but my own. So I learned that lesson of, okay, if I do something wrong with this animal, they might kick me or peck me or whatever it is, and it's not their fault. I just need to handle the situation better. I can't blame my parents or blame the chicken next to me or whatever. So those were great lessons to learn. And then the third lesson I learned is that we lost the farm when I was young, and it was due to multiple years of drought and some famine that just happened. And during those times, my dad, he picked up himself by his bootstraps, took nine kids to go back to school, got his master's degree in education, and became a principal of a high school. Ended
Wow.
up being my principal of my high
Oh
school.
my gosh.
Yeah. So to see him do that transformation of losing the family farm and being able to just say, "Hey, this isn't over for me. I'm gonna find the next thing." And even though I have this big family, he could have let it destroy him, that crisis situation, but
Yeah.
he didn't. Like he and watching him go through that had a huge effect on me as an adult to know it doesn't matter what comes my way, I can handle it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great. Thank you for sharing that. That's a really
Yeah, you
powerful
bet.
story and sounds like a remarkable man.
Yeah, he's an incredible guy.
Wow.
Still
Wow.
married to my mom. They're 59 years married now.
Wow.
So
Nice.
next year from now it'll be 60 years. So
That's a
excited
big one. Wow.
for
That's
them. Yeah.
quite a milestone. Good for them. A lot of the listeners, some are in family business, some are at that crossroads. Do we go into the family business? Do we not? Or do we go into business together as family members? So, if any listeners were thinking about doing what you and your siblings did, which is buy a franchise together, what's a key question or two that they should really think about before even going too far with said franchise?
Yeah, I think probably the first question I ask myself is the people, the family I'm going into business with, if I've had conflict with them in the past, have I been able to resolve that conflict? And if you can, then it's probably an okay relationship to have to go into business with because inevitably conflict comes. My second bit of advice would be we really liked learning each other's strengths. We went through this thing called the working genius. Have you ever heard of that, Ed?
Part of it, sure. Yeah.
But it's basically there to show you like what your geniuses are and where what also you don't love doing, what aspects of work. And so I would say if you decide to do that, do some type of like a working genius exam, something where you take a test, you learn each other's strengths, and then you build your team around those strengths. And I really love, like I said earlier, I love getting to know the strengths of my team members and my family on a whole new level and appreciate and love them for that.
As you went through that process, and you looked to your siblings, were there any surprises? Oh, I didn't know that about you, or I didn't know you hated that, or I know you like that, or things like that. Did any of those show up?
Totally. Yeah, totally. One of my brothers has the working genius of galvanizing, which is really where like you can bring a group together and get them all on the same page and working towards a shared goal that the group has decided on. And I struggle with that. I don't do well with galvanizing. I'm great at dreaming the dream, right? And also like maybe even coming up with the solution and the who's, but when I get into that zone of galvanizing, get everybody together and actually getting into the work, I get frustrated with that portion of the work. And so I did not know that he had that kind of ability. But what I've noticed is in the past working with him, I can see it now. Now I can see it through our whole history. I'm like, oh, he's always had that galvanizing strength. I just didn't recognize that as a strength in him. And then my other brother, he's got the tenacity strength. Like he can put his nose to the grind and do the work and come up for breaths when he has to, but he's going to get that checklist done. And that is another strength that I don't have. And I love that about him. So I expected my brothers to be somewhat clones of us. We're like, oh, we're brothers. We're only a few years apart. Like we'll be the same. But we ended up being very different and being able to cover a lot of the bases that we weren't able to cover just on our own.
They use some EOS vernacular. Every good visionary needs a good integrator to figure out how to get
Yeah,
stuff done.
exactly.
And to push back sometimes and say, yeah, that's not going to happen.
We're not ready for that.
Or what
Yep.
would you like to do first? Because you just put five really big ideas on the table. What matters most?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, we can't get them all done. We got to stick with this one or two.
But that's great that you see that in each other, and it sounds like it gives some real nice balance to
Yeah.
your leadership and having that orientation and having that putting words to what you've probably always felt growing up helps to define it better, to lean into it where you can. Very good for our listeners, a very worthy exercise, I would say,
Yeah.
to really
We
understand.
end up mapping the whole team. You can put it all on paper. Here's your strengths, here's my frustrations, and being able to just see it in a map. It's, oh, when problems arise, it's like, we need to get this over to David. He's going to be the perfect one to help us solve that problem. Because you just see where everybody has that genius.
Yeah, that's excellent. You'll like this next question as a visionary. Looking 5 years out, what does success look like for Cinch IT in Utah? Is it more territories? Is it deeper specialization, or is it something else totally different?
Yeah, I like to look at 20 years out first and then come back to 5 years. So 20 years for me would be us covering multiple states in the West. Okay. We're looking at maybe adjacent states, Idaho, Nevada, maybe even getting over into California. So I'd love to see that, but also getting deeper integrated. I really see ourselves finding the niche of compliance, people with CMMC or HIPAA or bank regulations. That kind of compliance becomes our bread and butter. And so where I see us in 5 years is really that deep seeding into Utah, deeper into some of the more metropolitan areas. It seems like it's weird. We've grown around Salt Lake and Provo, and now we're growing in to those metropolitan areas. And I think that will just become deeper and deeper for us over the next 5 years and really let us, once we're to that point, we can bounce back out.
Nice. Last question for you, Samuel. If one of our listeners wanted to connect to learn more about you or learn more about Cinch IT, what's the best way for them to reach out?
I'd love to hear from anybody that's listening. My Instagram is probably one of the best ways to reach me. It's at Samuel Crane, CEO. And you can send me an individual message or just message me that you listen to this podcast. And so I know the context is, but ask me any question you want. I'd love to share my thoughts and feelings with you. I'm also a big advocate of health and exercise, and I love getting into the outdoors. And so feel free to hit me up on anything on those lines as well. You can also check us out on our website, cinchit.com. And yeah, we'd love to connect with you.
Awesome. Samuel, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing the Cinch IT Utah journey and the family leadership behind it. Again, we've been speaking with Samuel Crane of Cinch IT, and I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and this has been another episode of Growing Up B2B. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Samuel, thanks so much for being with us today. It's been great.
Thanks, Ed.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.delianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at DeliaNet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.